my last visit, and the fresh air and sunshine would do me good. To ensure my recuperation, I'd even take some exercise. I wouldn't just visit Spain, I'd cycle round it. I set myself a target of 1,000 miles and 6 weeks in which to cover them. I'd start at the top, in the chic beach resort of San Sebastian, then work my way east over the Pyrenees and down to Barcelona, where I'd strut along tree-lined boulevards with the beautiful people. Then I'd head south to Granada and westwards across Andalusia to Seville, before heading up into Extremadura, Spain's Wild West. I'd then pedal over to the historic capital of Toledo and finally end up in the modern hurly-burly of Madrid. After 6 weeks of the cycling cure, I'd be lithe, fit, suntanned. If my tour took a few ups and downs, if I felt the need to let out the occasional primal scream, well, in Spain, nobody would notice. They're used to craziness in Spain. In fact, they positively celebrate it. This is the land of the delusional Don Quixote, the obsessive Queen Joan the Mad, and the stark-staring Salvador Dali. These are the people who have a festival during which merrymakers hurl lorry loads of ripe tomatoes at each other, and another in which they run in the path of rabid bulls, all in the name of fun. They drink whiskey mixed with Fanta Orange, from choice. Cycling in Spain would be a hassle-free adventure. The Spanish are meant to be fond of cycling. It ranks as the nation's second favourite sport, after football. They watch cycling, join cycling fan clubs, sponsor cycling, and, yes, at the weekends they even go cycling. Spain, after all, is the land of the most legendary cyclists that sport has ever seen, Miguel Indurain. In 1995, Indurain became the only person ever to have won the Tour de France 5 years in a row. The Spanish, used to the scant glory on the world stage, went completely crazy. The press started to refer to Indurain as a god. The nation duly worshipped him. In the summer of 1995, an estimated 6 million Spaniards sat on the edge of their armchairs and bellowed encouragement at their television screens as the tall, lanky Navarrese pedalled through 3 long weeks of pain and glory. Thousands more actually travelled to France to see the great man pass before their very eyes. They gazed in awe as Big Mig's long, strong legs hammered up hill after hill. At 1.88 metres, he was ludicrously large for a cyclist. Hormone-high teenage girls screamed and reached out to touch him as he and his rippling quadriceps pedalled by. When the tour was over and they could safely abandon their TV sets, Big Mig's followers flocked to the cycle shops and kitted themselves out with shiny new bikes and resplendent day-glow lycra outfits that never looked quite as good on paunchy computer programmers as they did on the pros. And on Sunday mornings, they took to the roads in their droves. I wasn't exactly expecting the kind of reception that Miguel inspired. To be honest, teenage girls have never done it for me anyway. But I held out high hopes for the occasional friendly smile, an encouraging toot of the horn, cosy chats with newfound friends in rustic bars overseen by ruddy-faced, perpetually smiling barmen, ever ready with a refill of Rioja, a bowl of olives, a spicy slab of chorizo. My friend Sheena had a most exciting dream in which I had a wild and tempestuous fling with a bullfighter, a prospect I didn't dismiss out of hand. Romantic entanglements had been thin on the ground over the last year or so. I had had quite a steamy cyber affair with a policeman in New Zealand, but after a while, even he had to be downgraded from cyber lover to email buddy. And bullfighters, let's face it, have very nice bottoms. Only one small but vital ingredient for my recovery was missing. I didn't own a bicycle. And so I emailed Mr. Chang, a bike builder over in Taipei. One of my Hong Kong friends had bought a number of bikes from him, and Mr. Chang had promised to give me a good deal. Better still, he was travelling to Hong Kong on business and would hand-deliver my new acquisition to my door for no extra charge. He would build me, he said, a top-quality road bike, a truly cosmopolitan machine whose parts were sourced from the best manufacturers around the globe, a handmade frame and Sell Italia saddle from Italy, clipless pedals from Germany, Shimano gearing from Japan, ultra-slim racing wheels from Taiwan.